السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. حضرت مفتي صاحب, is it compulsory for ladies to read Taraweeh? Is there punishment if they don't read it?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala gave us the recipe prescription for success, and that is to follow the commandments of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala and to follow the teachings of Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Chapter 3, verse 31. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us, قُلْ say Ya Rasulullah O Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ, if you really love Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, فَاتَّبِعُونِي, so follow me, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, immaculately. يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ, then you will become the beloved of Almighty Allah. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ, and Almighty Allah will forgive you your sins. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah was a genius. In his masterpiece Kitab al-Umm he wrote, جَمِيعُ مَا تَقُولُهُ الْأَئِمَّةِ شَرْحٌ لِلسُنَّةِ وَجَمِيعُ مَا تَقُولُهُ السُنَّةِ شَرْحٌ لِلْقُرْآنِ. What we, the Imams and the scholars say, is a commentary, elaboration of the Sunnah. And whatever the Sunnah teaches us is a commentary, elaboration, expansion on the Quran Sharif. So all four schools, Shafi'is, Maliki's, Hanafi's, humbly say 20 rakats. So if you don't read it and you are a muqim, you are a resident in your town, you are not a musafir, you're not ill, you're not a sickly person, you're not a person who's so old and all that. So and then you must eat, you don't read Taraweeh, obviously it's a sin then. So deliberately you are undermining the teaching, preaching of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's very strange, you know, people can watch movies for 1, 2, 3 hours. People can go for cricket for 1 day, 3 days, 5 days. But here 1 hour Taraweeh, that they'll look for every excuse and so forth, is a sign of nifaq and hypocrisy. To leave out Taraweeh when we don't have any excuse, yes, it is sinful for male and female.
Kitab, a man is in a position of power and has a split personality, good in front of ulama and horrible to his wife and workers. He embarrassed his manager using vulgar languages. They are petrified of him. What dua can they read?
We heard this in yesterday's Q&A with Brother Suleiman Esop, but nevertheless, all these questions that we ask, we must just delete it so we don't have to repeat so quickly. So anyway, I told them yesterday, I'll just repeat it. These are the type of people and there's no shortage of them. Hazrat Ji of Jalalabad, Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Khan Sahib Nawwarallahu Marqadahu, who passed away on 992 on a Friday. In 77, when I spent 5 weeks entire Ramadan there by Hazrat Ji, we used to hear Hazrat Ji saying, Rahmatullah Alayhi, ke is zamane mein nifaq aam ho chuka hai, that in this day and this age, nifaq hypocrisy has become rife and rampant. That's 1977, so where we are now. So remember, in front they'll come make Hazrat, Hazrat, but behind us they'll stab us or back you. And it's so rife and rampant, you must remember that. So for these type of people, read the following verses. Chapter number 29, Surah An-Kabut, the spider. Verse number 30, Rabbin Surni alal qawm al-mufsideen. O Almighty Allah, Jalla Wala, assist me against the troublemakers, mischief makers. Lut alayhi salatu salam, Lot, peace be upon him, L-O-T, recited this verse, chapter 29, verse 30, against the gay community, the homosexuals, and Allah decimated, destroyed them. Read chapter number 40, verse 44, Surah Mu'min. In our Quran, they written Surah Mu'min. In the Arab copies, is written Surah Ghafir. Be that as it may, you must remember that. What will you find there? That Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us, وَأُفَوِّدُ أَمْرِي إِلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَصِيرٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. That Almighty Allah Jalla Wala is teaching us, read this dua, Surah 40, Surah Mu'min, verse 44. I hand over my matters to Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, and what will happen? إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَصِيرٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. heart, he's all observing over the servant. And then the next verse, Surah 40, verse 45, they all met Allah states, that is, فَوَقَاهُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِ مَا مَكَرُوا. Allah will protect you from those people who are plotting, planning, scheming against you. How many people are scheming against us? Americans, Israelis, the Saudis, the Emiratis, they in Dubai and so forth and so. All of them plotting, planning against Islam. We must remember that. So that is what we see. May Almighty Allah decimate them all. So these are the type of du'as we should read. And inshallah, give out charity. Allah Ta'ala will destroy these enemies of Islam who are sanctimonious. They have a double identity. In front of us, they become buzruk. And the real qualities are buzruk. Remember that. They will insult their wife, their children, their staff, and people. And always they are power hungry, like Netanyahu and Trump and all these characters and criminals. So may Almighty Allah decimate and destroy them all.
Mufti Saab, Eid Milan is currently advertised by Radio Lansar. Is it permitted in this auspicious month, we should be making dua for our brothers and sisters in Palestine, and people are invited to come and play paddle. Where is our Isha Salah and Taraweeh? Deserve your guidance for the Ummah.
Remember that it can be any organization. I told you many a time that the truth must be spoken. Whether you must remember it is myself, our family, our organizations. Al-Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah was asked, what do you say of Imam Malik rahimahullah? So he said, Wa Najmun is a star, and is my ustad, and Habibi is my beloved. So he said, but how come you wrote a book against him? And you said you disagree with him on this and so forth. With respect, obviously. He said, obviously I love my teacher, but we love the truth more than we love people and so forth. Any organization promoting peddle, promoting haram things, must be condemned. Whoever it is, you must remember this. So we don't have to curry favor with any person, any organization, or any politician or government. So now in Ramadan, to promote peddle is haram in Ramadan and out of Ramadan. So now this person is playing with that person's daughter and that person's wife and so forth. Salat comes, salat go, and all these things here. So we're peddling our way straight to Jahannam and so forth. So therefore, I said, even now and yesterday in the Q&A, all this mess iftar on the name of interfaith, all this mess iftar there by the beach, all these paddle and all these kind of things, irrespective of who is promoting it, is totally haram and not permissible.
Mufti Saab, when making dua, some people raise their hands far apart and some raise it together. What is the sunnah method?
Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Mubarak tariqah and way was to keep the hands together and in line with the chest. Go open Mishkat Sharif, you will find Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu says, don't pick it up so high, so you stand above the chest and so. Why? We must create the perception, impression. Wallahu al-ghani wa antum al-fuqara. I'm a millionaire, billionaire, trillionaire in dollars, euros, whatever. So, but by Allah, I'm a pauper, I'm a beggar. So we place our hands together as a sa'il, as a bikari, as a beggar in front of Almighty Allah, Jalla wa Ala, and the fingers and the fingertips will point towards the Kaaba, Musharrafa, the Qibla. And remember, Quran Sharif is teaching us, Ud'u Rabbakum tadarru'u wa khufiya. Call your sustainer, nourisher, provider. How? That you call him tadarru'a, with humility, and wa khufiya, softly. So that is the sign of humility, when we put our hands together, and not one, they were the right wing and left wing. You see the Salafis, that when they read Salat, the one leg is in the right wing, and there the left leg is in the left wing, and the shaitan is right there in the middle. You see that? So even Salat, they read upside down. You must remember that. So dua also, some of them, they'll put the right hand in the right wing, and the left hand with the left wing, and the dua will go right through the middle, and must them, and all upside down things they'll do. So remember, Islam does not teach us that. Islam teaches us we keep the hands together and we face the Qibla, the fingertips, and we show and we beg Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, Ham to Bikari hai, that we are beggars in your court, O Almighty Allah. And therefore Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us the hadith in Mishkat Sharif. What does it say in a Tirmidhi Sharif also? Idha sa'altumullah wa antum muqinuna bil ijaba, that when you beg Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, so you yourself, you must have firm conviction that my beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, my Kareem Allah, that Allah who is so generous will accept the dua. So that is what Islam teaches us. So here the verse is, write it down, Surah chapter 7, Surah A'raf, and verse number 55. Chapter 7, verse 55. Ud'u Rabbakum tadarru'a wa khufya. Call your sustainer, nourisher. Tadarru'a wa humility. So therefore we sit in the posture of tashahud as far as possible, how we sit in salat, and we beg Allah, we raise our hands as a beggar, and softly. There's no need to scream and shout in dua. Innahu la yuhibbul mu'tadeen. Verily, Allah does not love those people who go beyond the boundaries and the limits. Chapter 7, Surah A'raf, the high walls, verse number 55. So that is the adab and etiquette of making dua.
Mufti Sahab, I'm not a rich person, but I have been saving for Hajj for many years. I've accumulated 20,000 rand. The question is, do I have to pay zakat? I live a simple life.
Yes, you have to pay zakat because the minimum threshold, nisab, is 12,000 rand. So whether you are saving for Umrah, you are saving for Hajj, that doesn't mean now you don't have to pay zakat on that. So on that 20,000, and then maybe you got a business or whatever that you ask, buying, selling. So on the stuff you bought with the intention to resell, stock in trade, or maybe you got the Kruger coin or whatever like that. So you must put all of it together. So they came to 100,000, for example. So you must pay 2.5% on that. So 2,500 rand. Likewise, you, the prospective Hujjaj, Hujjaj Baitillah, I see that on the 12th of April, if I'm correct, let me just see my calendar, yeah. So on the 12th of April, yes, that's correct. So inshallah, the Hajj seminar will take place there in Durban. So inshallah, we'll be there and so forth. Before that also, various places our lectures will take place, inshallah. So many of you, inshallah, you already paid your deposit for your Hajj to ABC XYZ agent, but you haven't paid the full sum. Still quarter, half, three quarter is left. It's still in your possession. Ramadan is come. Just now Ramadan is gone. So you work with Ramadan. So remember that money in your possession, zakat is compulsory upon you, although you're still going to pay it to the agent. So we should take cognizance of that and remember that as well.
Mufti Sahab, please advise, if a person misses their fast without a valid reason, how much do they have to pay kafara?
Remember, there's no kafara if this person is not sick, is not old, and just missed the fast deliberately. Then the fatwa of Imam Abu Hanifa and the scholars will be, Nakhafu alayhi al-kufr. We fear he will live in this world and then lose his iman and die a non-Muslim, because you're undermining what Almighty Allah has commanded us to do. And you, by your own admission, you say you don't have any valid excuse. So you have to make one qadha, and you have to make tawbah and cry to Almighty Allah for the rest of your life. Our problem is what? We just want to commercialize Islam. I did this, how much must I pay? I did this, how much must I pay? So Islam cannot be commercialized. Our people go for Hajj. So alhamdulillah, we used to take groups, you know. So now these guys want to smoke in ihram. So their question, if I smoke one cigarette, if I smoke 20 cigarettes, 10 cigarettes, how much must I pay? I say the trouble with you all is that you don't want to practice what Quran is saying. Quran Kareem states, when you're in the state of ihram, فَلَا رَفَثَ, then no husband-wife talk. You can't tell your wife, oh, my poppy, oh, my darling, your hands are so smooth. Let me touch it and massage you, or she massage him. Wala fala rafatha, wala fusuqa, and no committing sin. A person swears outside the masjid. That same swear word he uses in the masjid, what you will say, is much worse in the masjid. So now you have the garb of a pilgrim. You are going and labbaik Allahumma labbaik. And now you got smoke there. You got agarbati in your mouth. But you're saying, Allahumma ajirna min an-nar. Ya Allah, save us from the fire. But you started the fire yourself. So it's absolutely haram to smoke in the state of ihram. But then the South African will ask you, how much must I pay? They justify it, you see. How much dumb there is. I say, by the time you guys finish, your hajj won't be a hajj. It will be a hajj. Dum, dum, dama, dum, 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 dama, dum, kalender hajj. You see, that's not hajj. You're just playing fools. You must remember that. So you must learn to make a ibadat, a quality ibadat, quality umrah, quality hajj, quality ziyarat to Aqsa, to Medina, to Aqsa. Like that, wala jidala fil hajj. No argument and debating for nothing. We're jahil people, just the ignorant people, just tell them the masla and carry on. Where are you going to debate with them? Chapter number 2 and verse number 197. So brother, there's no payment here, no kafara here. Here you have to keep one qadha and make sincere tawbah. If you carry on like that, you will lose your iman and die a non-Muslim, al-iyazu billah. Allah Jalla wa'ala protect us all.
Mufti Sahab, if I have gold jewelry that I bought with the intention to wear, not to sell, do I have to pay zakat on it?
Whether you are wearing it or you are not wearing it, then zakat is compulsory upon you. For that jewelry, you take the current market value, the retail price, and you pay 2.5%. It worked out to 100,000. So whether you are wearing it or not wearing it, zakat is compulsory. That is the verdict of the Hanafi scholars. And if you look at the dalail and evidence, Hanafi school is one side, but their dalail evidence is much stronger compared to majority scholars, the Shafi'is, the Malikis, the Hanbalis. They say when you are using the jewelry, that is your wife, your daughter, sister, mother, then even few times in the year you use it, la zakata fil huli, there will be no zakat upon you, provided that you are using it. That is the verdict only of the Shafi'is, Malikis, Hanbalis. But the Hanafis say that it is compulsory whether you are using it or not. My advice to those of you Shafi'is, Hanbalis, Malikis, is better for you to pay the zakat of your wife's jewelry. She pay or you pay. If you pay from your money, then inform her. Why? I told you last week, a few days ago, we have a usul, a principle in fiqh, in jurisprudence, al-khuruj anil-khilaf. You come out from the difference of opinion. Hanafis will say it's compulsory, first upon you to pay. But if you follow in the Shafi, Maliki, Hanbalis, we will not say it's compulsory, but we will say pay it, but it's precautionary for you. So in that way, you know that you got no more difference of opinion. And when you compare the dalail and evidence, the Hanafi's evidence is very, very strong on this particular issue. We should follow the truth and not look for loopholes in the Sharia.
Tisab, I was in another country yesterday, Juma Salah now. However, the imam that was giving the khutbah, I think, was a student, and he read the khutbah from a kitab, made few harakat mistakes and was struggling to read the khutbah. Must I repeat my Juma Salah?
So maybe that person sent the question yesterday, but now today the question is being asked. So because today is already Sunday, and he is speaking of Juma Salat, so yes, it happens like that sometime. So I know what you are talking about. The student performed the khutbah, the sermon, and he never read the sermon properly, making terrible mistakes in the diacritical marks. Diacritical marks means the fatha, kasra, dhamma, the pesh and the zabar, zair, and the ulta pesh. You know, when we were very young, We used to learn about pesh and ulta pesh, upside down pesh they call. So anyway, so then the khutbah is done, the salat is done. But when the imam, he knows, he doesn't know the Arabic properly, so why must you take the musalla? Why must you go on the minbar? So he is to blame, the sin is on him. Second, the trustees are to blame. Why did you allow such an incompetent person to deliver the khutbah and the sermon? Two, three, our darul ulums, our madrasas are also to blame. I don't say all, but I'll say many. That why don't you teach your students? They are there 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 6 years. Can't they learn one khutbah by heart? I went to Soweto now Friday with my brother Ahmed Abdi from Somaliland. I'll tell you about it on Monday between 2 and 2.30. Details what happened. So when I was there, so then the imam there, Sheikh Yahya, Hafiz Yahya, he told me, make khutbah. So I said, no problem. So I bahaated a few khutbahs. So I just delivered the khutbah by heart. So I never try and read in a kitab. So why can't you? You're studying 2, 3, 4, 5 years, learn one khutbah by heart and you learn it properly. Now you come there and you don't know what you're reading. You're reading upside down. Even the public who are not ulama, who don't even know Arabic, they can see how you are fumbling and dribbling. So it's an indictment upon him, upon the trustee, upon the imam of the masjid who put him in front, and upon our institutions. Why don't we teach them properly, you must remember. I have to tell the students, if you can't make imam, but you can't deliver one khutbah, me, I'll not sign your certificate. You're not fit to be a maulvi, you're not fit to be an alim, if you can't read one khutbah by heart. I mean, so many years you are studying. So, I mean, these are all deficiencies. But who's there to tell them? Everyone is a hazrat, you know. So everyone wants to be a big shot. Oh, hazrat ne farmaya. Hazrat ne khab dekha. You know, hazrat saw a dream. Hazrat said like this. Sometimes hazrat, they will give it so much preference. They will forget the Quran and Sunnah. But they will speak about hazrat more. So that is ghulu. That is going to another extreme, which Islam does not allow.
Mufti Sahib, when someone misses Fajr Salah, some people say then 7 a.m. you can read it normal with 2 sunnat and 2 farz. And it's not qaza if read at 7 a.m. Is this true?
Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah used to say, some people, if you open his fatawa, Majmu'ul Fatawa, you will find some places he say, some people are adallu min himari alihi, that some people are even more astray than the donkey in their backyard. The person who made that statement, you know 6 o'clock is sunrise, you know 6:15 is sunrise, 7 o'clock the man goes and read qaza, and you come and tell me it's not qaza. You must tell him the hadith in Bukhari Sharif, when you miss your Fajr Salat during Ramadan or any other month, Ba'ala shaitanu fi uzunay, shaitan has urinated in your ear. When you miss your Fajr Salat, because last night, Saturday night, you were having a big braai and so forth, according to Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, according to majority Sahaba, according to Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, you kafir, you're out of the fold of Islam, your nikah is broken, you die, we must not bury you in a Muslim graveyard. If you want a reference of all this, go open Al-Mughni of Ibn Qudama of the Hanbali school. Go open Kitab al-Salat of Hafiz Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyah. It's a masterpiece of a book. I keep it normally in front of me. Why? Because to show us. I don't pass fatwa on that, but I mention it to show you how severe a sin. Look at the question. How light they are taking it. You see what you talk. You can just read Salat 7 o'clock, 7:30. You read 2 sunnahs, you read 2 farz, and then remember, it's not qaza. So then what is the meaning of qaza? Sunrise, finish, Fajr time is finished. So you must remember that. So the person who said that, better read your kalima again. But before you talk more nonsense, you'll understand. And you make a mockery of Salat. Ma salakakum fi saqar. What made them go straight to Jahannam? Quran says, first thing they will say, we never did Salat. I just told you that just now, before I went for Fajr. now I read Fajr Salat, because we just go and make it in time, you know. I was again in the last surf. But come after Eid day, and you will see, I'll be in the first surf. Where are all the people? All sleeping, 90%, 80%. Bishar al-Hafi, Bishar al-Waliullah, the sage of the age, is buried next to Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. He used to say, بئس القوم لا يعرفون الله إلا في رمضان. How horrible, how terrible are the person and people who only worship and recognize Allah in Ramadan. After Ramadan, fast asleep. من خبلا بيبروا لا بروا لا يبالي. I gave you in various languages. They got no bother. Just must fajr. Shaitan will urinate in your ear. The hadith in Bukhari Sharif. So don't talk nonsense like that. You'll lose your iman. If you talk nonsense like that, people can read Fajr Salat 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, and it's not qadha. Obviously, it's qadha after sunrise. So we must be very, very careful what we are saying and what we are uttering.
This last question, is it more absurd to read your Eid Salah in the Eidgah or in the Masjid?
100% in the Eidgah, there's no ikhtilaf in that. Only Al-Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah used to say, if the Masjid is Masjid Kabir and Masjid Akbar, like that, very big Masjid, it can accommodate everybody there, one Masjid accommodate, then you read there. But obviously, today it doesn't work like that, so we must read Salat in the Eidgah. Our Mawlana Salim Kareem, mashallah, yesterday. So, somebody sent me the advert that Mawlana will be there in the, you know, stand at Orient School. So there in Durban. So I told Mawlana, we'll take it live on Markaz Sahaba. Mawlana was happy. So inshallah, that will be Monday, inshallah. If the moon Sami see the moon, and then Mawlana Salim's Eid khutbah, Eid lecture, all will be live on Markaz Sahaba. I will be there in Komatipur, inshallah. So that's a farm, you know. Farm meaning there is a sit down, but they don't have all these facilities. So we'll be there. They got Eidgah there also. So we will be there. So wherever is possible, read Eid Salat in a Eidgah. وَلِتُكْمِلُوا الْإِدَّةِ وَلِتُكَبِّرُوا اللَّهَ لَمَا هَدَاكُمْ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. It is a day of gratitude. So we leave the masajid, we go outside and we read the takbir. And takbir you should read according to the Shafi'is, Malikis, Hanbalis, and Imam Abu Hanifa's two students. Only Imam Abu Hanifa says, for Eid al-Fitr, you should read softly. His students say, read loudly. Majority scholars say loudly. So if somebody reads it loudly, there's no problem. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd. So that is our message to the Ummah. Ameen. Does afternoon 2 to 4 on Radio Al-Ansar, Sirius FM, and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, is Q&A. May Almighty Allah make it a means of hidayat. Barakallahu feek. Salaamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.